Okay, the title is Change Your Images and Change Your Heart. And we've talked other soaking times about our image maker and how our heart works. And there's a lot of you haven't really seen or heard that, but don't have a lot of time tonight to go into that. But the image maker is the screen, the thing that we see in our heart when we're thinking about something, or any time we have a thought, any time we hear a word, there's an image that comes up on the screen of our heart. And that image influences how we react and respond to life. And those images are what really causes the actions in our lives. We see it on the image maker, and if we believe that it's good or the right thing to do or safe to do, our body will act and do whatever it sees on that image maker. And whatever the heart sees, it's going to do, and the heart is influenced by all of the cellular memory. One of the definitions from the ancient Hebrew is that the heart is our brain, our spirit, and our cellular memory. And the heart uses the cellular memory to respond to the current situation. Whatever we're dealing with at the current moment, we react to it through whatever is already stored in our heart. And that can be good if there's good memories and good cellular memory there, but it can cause us to do actions and do things that we don't want to do or trying to stop doing. But because that is the only thing in the cellular memory, that's what our body is going to respond to, and that's the action our body is going to take. This image is also influenced by what's currently going on, the data that's coming into us through our five physical senses. And the heart takes the things that are in our cellular memory, what's going on right now coming in from our five physical senses, and makes a decision of how we're going to respond. That's just the way our heart works, and it responds instantaneously and automatically. It doesn't take long at all for it to search the whole data bank, and it's in our brain, all the memory, find any kind of memory that's similar to the current situation we're dealing with, and to make a decision on how we're going to react. And it happens just about that fast. And our will doesn't really impact that decision. The heart makes a decision independently of our will. And this stored cellular memory, we don't realize just how important that is. Everything that has happened in our lives is stored in the cellular memory of our brain. And it goes all the way back to when we were first in our mother's womb. And it's picking up information through the five physical senses and through the spirit, and it's storing those. And that memory stays the way it is unless something comes along that will change it. And there's a couple of things that are able to change that cellular memory to something that can be positive, so that we might stop reacting negatively to something and start reacting positively. These reactions are what we hear the psychologists and psychiatrists and everybody talk about, are these hot buttons. When a certain word, a certain action, something somebody says, something somebody does, touches a cellular memory that's got a strong response tied to it, it's going to come out. And it's going to come out again and again and again, basically the same way until we change that cellular memory. If we get angry because somebody does a certain thing, every time they do it, we're going to get the same response, whether we've prayed about it, whether we've made these New Year's resolutions, whether we have determined in our will that I'm not going to do this anymore. The heart trumps all that, and the heart responds out of the memory that's stored there. The responses are fight, flight, or freeze are the most common ones. The freeze is when you withdraw or you're paralyzed and you don't do anything, or you're going to fight or flight. That's typically, or we're going to change directions, or we're going to change our attitude or something, just because the heart decides that this is the action that we're going to take. See, when I was thinking about this, I was reading a book by David Emerald called The Power of TED, and TED is an acronym for the Empowerment Dynamic, TED, and realizing how powerful these images are in our heart, and by changing the cellular memory, we can change how we respond to life and the current situations that we find ourselves in. And we can respond to people and circumstances and conditions around us totally differently just by changing that cellular memory. One of the things that the power of TED primarily is focused on is this empowerment of moving from being a victim and having victim thinking to becoming what he calls a creator, someone who has the ability to create something new in their life, change something in their way they handle life situations. And the victim always is focused on the past and always focused on the problem. And the problem becomes bigger and bigger the more and more a victim thinks about it. And it is a very oppressive kind of a thought pattern, where the creator is focused on the future and all the potential changes and potential outcomes that we can have. And the whole book is basically on how you walk through getting from being a victim or having a victim thinking pattern in your life to becoming a creator, someone who can have a positive outlook and positive response to life situations. One of the things that he suggests doing is to look at what happened to us from a different perspective, especially all the negative things that happened to us, the painful, the traumatic things that could very well be causing us to feel like a victim, that could be causing us to react in negative ways. The depression or fear or anger or all those negative emotional responses that we can have. And it's what he refers to as a persecutor, the person, condition, or circumstance that caused this painful situation to happen in your life, or the trauma, or the difficulty that you walked through. And to take that persecutor and look at it from the perspective and ask yourself and write down 7 things that you could think of that this person, situation, or circumstance that happened to you caused you to change, caused you to do something different, caused you to change your attitude, walk a different way, to go a different direction in your life. And ask yourself some questions like, what have I learned from this situation that I just went through? What lesson or insight can change or change has this made in my life? What has challenged me to do something different or better? How has it caused me to focus on new desires or different outcomes or look at the future differently? What I saw was is looking at this from a totally different perspective, a positive perspective, rather than the victim's perspective of all the problems, all the hurt, all the negative emotions and feelings that came out of that bad situation that you had to walk through. And instead saying, all right, it happened, it shouldn't have happened, but it did. What can I take from this as a positive and begin to make a list of things that have positively helped change your life? And it's all about changing this image, changing how you see the past. And when I started thinking about it, if you can start looking at it, that these situations were really opportunities for you to learn something and to change. And begin to dig around and find out, what kind of things did I learn? What kind of changes have I made as a result of those things that happened from the past? And it helps us to begin to forgive. And as we forgive, then we can start looking at life and looking at this past in a positive way. And what we're doing is we're building a new cellular memory there and replacing the totally negative, hurtful, painful, emotionally charged memory that has been affecting us in a negative way and causing us to respond out of that to the current situations in our lives. And I was thinking, well, all right, what are some other ways that we could change these images that would help us in a positive way? And one that came to my mind was learning and memorizing scripture verses. We've come up through the faith training and teaching, and they really emphasize confessing the word and speaking the word and focusing on the word. And part of encouraging you to read the Bible and putting yourself in those scripture verses, where there's a pronoun like he or they, you put your name in there instead. And begin to see yourself in the scriptures and see yourself changing that image on your image maker of a situation, so you can go back to a previous hurtful and painful situation and allow the Holy Spirit to show you what scripture verses may have been operating in that situation that you may not have been aware of. But one that I thought of is that the Father tells us in Hebrews 13:5 that he will never leave us or forsake us. Therefore, even in that worst condition or situation, Jesus and the Father were there. He's never left their side. He's never pulled away just because something terrible happened, something traumatic happened, something that was maybe life-changing in your life. The Father was still there, and he was still loving. He was still pouring out his love. He was still working in that situation. And when you start bringing Jesus and the Father into that memory, into that cellular memory, then you begin to have an opportunity to get rid of the pain and release the pain, and you begin to have the opportunity to take all this to the cross, and if it was a person, to forgive that person and take that person to the cross. And it just releases you from all the negative aspects of that cellular memory, and you begin to see it in a totally different way. This is the whole premise of inner healing ministry that people do. If you've ever heard of inner healing, that's what they're attempting to do, is help people bring Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit into that old memory, that negative cellular memory that we have, and begin to get rid of all the painful parts of it and all the negative emotions and feelings there. And there's been a number of people that we've helped walk through those kind of things. And now, on the other side of it, they might still remember that event, that thing that happened, but it doesn't bring all the negative emotions out, because they've already given them to Jesus. They've already taken them to the cross. They've already begun to see themselves differently. And even though it may still be a bad memory, it's not painful. It's not causing you to need to react in a negative way to cover that pain. And it's just bringing the love of the Father, too, into that. It's really the comforting love of the Father that heals our heart. When hearing people talk about healing your heart, that's really what we're talking about, is bringing healing to those negative cellular memory, those negative places in your heart where you've had all this hurtful and painful emotions. And we've just had some really powerful effects of people when they start releasing this and start getting rid of it, and they just see it going. I've walked through several sessions of this myself, someone else ministering to me. One time I just saw it like this black, liquidy, gunky stuff with objects floating in it, like a big river overflowing and just flowing out of me, just going out of me. We had one person see it being dumped on train cars, and just this long bunch of train cars going by and something releasing this stuff, and at some point the train cars went over a cliff and it was just getting rid of it. The power of it is getting it out of you, seeing it's no longer part of you. That's what really brings the power to healing, is that you see it outside of you. It's out there. The second time I did a session, I had the image similar to what the one, I think it's the Two Towers and the Lord of the Rings, where the eagles come and they help in the battle. And the eagles were flying down, and I was picking these, they were like in packages of those negative memories and painful things, and the eagles were swooping down and grabbing them and flying away with them. It was a pretty wild image, but it was very vivid as I saw myself just getting rid of these things. So That is a powerful way to begin to help change the images on your image maker. And another one is I thought of is the power of positive confession. A lot of people have kind of put down positive confessions and saying that you're just creating something from nothing, you're trying to change yourself. And I think that you have to be careful what your attitude is there, but you say something enough times, you hear something enough times, you hear yourself saying enough times, you begin to believe it, and believe that it's true. And if your confessions all line up with the Word of God, if they're all positive confessions that are based on the truth of God's Word, then you can start seeing yourself in a different way. Zig Ziglar, if you've ever read his book, See You at the Top, he worked with executives of big corporations and businesses and stuff, and had these guys make tapes. At that time, there were cassette tapes when the book was written, of positive confessions about themselves. And they put them all down the tape, and these guys would play them as they were commuting into work, or listening to them on cassette recorders and in their cars, and they changed their lives. It changed them, and the power of that in our lives, it can be really a very positive one. And you think about Jesus, that's exactly what he did. He didn't say anything but what he saw the Father doing. So he was saying about himself that he was only doing and saying what the Father had said. So Father was telling him what to do and showing him what to do. And that's another way of changing those images in our heart and changing that cellular memory so that we can respond and with a different image on our image maker. In Ephesians 4, part of it tells us to begin to put on Jesus Christ, to begin to act and see ourselves being and doing things the way Jesus did. And the way that we do that is that we have to take off the old nature of seeing ourselves as an orphan and put on this new nature and seeing ourselves as sons and daughters. That's part of what Sue and I have been doing and what Father Art Ministries is all about. And if you come to listen to Mark Jide, that's exactly what he's going to really be emphasizing, is sonship, walking in sonship, seeing yourself as a son. And Ephesians 4:22-24 in the Amplified really kind of puts this all together. And Paul's writing and he says, "Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, to become corrupt through lust and desires that spring from these delusions. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind." That's a real key part of these couple of verses, to constantly renew the spirit of your mind. That's what we're talking about. The brain, the cellular memory, is renewing this, putting a new image in there, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerated self created in God's image, and become godlike and in true righteousness and holiness. And that has been just something in the last couple of years that Sue and I have begun to really walk into as we've begun to have more exposure to Father Heart Ministries and whole reality of a loving father and being a son or daughter in that relationship. And me just seeing myself walking with the Father, seeing myself being fathered by a Heavenly Father, seeing myself, Him taking care of me and providing for me, seeing Him protecting me, and seeing Him be in control of my life and not trying to be in control of my life myself. That has all begun to change those images on my image maker. I'm beginning to see myself as a son or a daughter. And that's our heart's passion and desire, is to help other people start seeing themselves as sons and daughters and getting this new image on your image maker about them. When you do, it changes. It does something to you. It sets you free. One of the things that is tremendous freedom. Paul talks about the glorious freedom of the sons and daughters. And that's exactly what Sue and I have been experiencing, is this freedom. When we don't have to do it, when we can allow the Father to bother us and take care of us, and just be obedient sons and daughters, being willing to do things and motivated by love. Sue doesn't like the word obedience anymore. It's like a performance thing. But I don't have quite the problem with that that she does. But being in a loving relationship with a Heavenly Father, your motivation to do things is going to be in love. And being holy is not going to be difficult, because that's what walking in love really is like. We're going to do the things that are going to be pleasing to the Father, because we love Him. And we want to be pleasing to Him, and we want to do those things. So the images on our heart are going to start changing, and our actions are going to change as our images change. What we see and what we believe as being good or right or the right thing to do, we will do. That's the action that we will take. And then in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 in the Amplified, "So therefore be imitators of God, copy Him and follow His example. As well-beloved children, imitate their Father. And walk in love, esteemed and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it becomes a sweet fragrance." We start imitating Christ. It's all part of this changing the images on our heart. It's changing the things, that way we live life, the way we respond to life, and even to go back and see ourselves differently in these old cellular memories, and seeing ourselves even as sons and daughters in those situations. And we imitate Christ. We put on Jesus Christ. We become just like Him. And what was He? He was the perfect Son. He was the perfect example of what it means to walk as a son to our loving Heavenly Father. And when we do that, we become this sweet-smelling aroma that Paul talks about, and the world's going to be drawn to it. And we're going to create an atmosphere around us of love. The love that's in us is going to come out, and we're going to start impacting people around us. I believe that's what Paul experienced, and it said that he would just walk in His shadow would cause people to receive healing, because it's not so much His physical shadow, but that's how close they were to Him, and that's how much the love was radiating out from Him and impacting them and bringing healing to their bodies. And even demonic spirits. We listened to Trevor Galpin, who does the A-Schools of Power Ministries, and he had a situation where there was a demon-possessed woman who was manifesting, and the people were trying to minister to her, and they were just basically in a shouting match with the demonic spirits that were pretty strongly in place in this woman's life, and they weren't making any progress, and they asked Trevor to come over and help. And Trevor, as he's walking over, says, "Lord, I don't want to get in an argument with a bunch of demons. I just want these things to go." And the Father said, "Just hold her and love her." And so he asked her permission if he would just hold her and put his arms around her. And he put his arms around and said, "Father, let these arms become your arms, and you love her with your love." And as he did that, she started saying, "They're going. They're going. They're going." And every one of them gone, and she just relaxed, and she was totally at peace and rest and totally gone. And all he did was hold her and let the love of the Father do the work and remove the demonic spirits that were trying to affect this woman's life. So it's all about changing this image on our image maker in our heart. And like I said, what we see and what we believe is the right thing to do is what we're going to do. And it's going to cause us to take action and perform that act that we're seeing in our image maker. If we see ourselves walking in love, and believe that's the right thing to do, then our heart's going to cause our nerves and our body to walk in love and respond in love. Begin to even look forward in your thinking. If you're married and certain times you've gotten in arguments with your spouse about something, begin to change the image on your image maker. We've heard other people say this and we didn't realize what they were talking about. Seeing yourself responding differently. Seeing yourself responding in love in that situation before it's even going to happen. And I heard Jimmy Evans, which is a really great one, I've done this a couple of times, that when you start to get upset at your spouse and you're getting into a heated discussion, see Jesus standing behind that person. And how would you respond if you know Jesus was in the room and he was standing close to this person you're about ready to... yeah, go after him. It's changing the image. Changing the image is going to... You believe that that's the right thing to do, then your body is going to respond and respond differently to that. But if there's no... Yeah, and you can have the negative images too, if you're not careful. But if there's no image on our image maker, then there's no life coming forth. And if there's no life coming forth in our image maker, there's no motivation to do anything. And if there's no motivation in our image maker, we're not going to do a thing. So it requires us to take a positive step of changing these images on our image maker and seeing ourselves in a different way. What the heart cannot see, the body is not going to do. When the heart sees and believes, the actions are going to follow automatically. And everything in our life is controlled by these images that are on our heart. Every image in our heart we see and believe, we perform. Change behavior or habit, whether it's getting rid of a bad habit or trying to establish a new habit, requires you to see yourself doing something different. Seeing yourself change and changing that image on your image maker. And we need to have that change before anything's going to happen. When the heart does not change, nothing changes in our life. But when the heart does change, everything changes in our life. So I just want to encourage you tonight in that time that we're going to have for soaking, if you haven't come with a particular desire of what you wanted to do, I would encourage you to begin to ask a father to give you a new image tonight. Give you a new image about something that you are wanting to change. A new image about even a habit that you've had, or a negative attitude, or a negative remembrance of an experience, or something that... Ask the Father to show you, how could I see this differently? How can I turn it into something positive in my life? Move away from being a victim and being concentrating on the problem into a creator and looking to the future and the opportunities that lie ahead of you.